Masechet Tanit of 26, we begin the fourth Perek of Masechet Tanit. And once again, like in the previous two, we're going to read the entire Perek of Mishnah first, and only afterwards we will begin the Gemara. This Perek of Mishnah is all about the special prayers that were said by Anshei HaMa'amad on the various fast days. So we begin. Bishlosha Perakim Bashana, Kohanim Nosin Et Kapehen, Arba Pa'amim Bayom. On three different periods during the year, Kohanim will say Berkat Kohanim. They literally they lift their hands and say Kohanim four times a day. Beshacharit, Bamusaf, Bamincha, Benelat Shearim. So those are the four times a day that they would say Berkat Kohanim. What are the three periods that this would apply? Betaniot, Bemamadot, Ubiyom Kippurim. Okay, Yom Kippurim is the easy one, because on Yom Kippur we say all of these prayers, Sharim Uzamincha, Neilat Shearim. And according to this opinion, we say Birkat Kohanim all four times. We're going to see that there are other opinions that, because we don't do this, we don't say it during Mincha. We say it the other three times. Okay, so Yom Kippur we know about. Now, Ta'anit also, whenever there was a Ta'anit, the serious ones, right? The last ones when there was no rain, they would add Ne'ayla. So, and since they're fasting, there's no problem of getting drunk and all that. So then they would say Kohanim. Now, Musaf is curious because there is no Musaf on a Ta'anit. There's only Musaf on a holiday, on Yom Kippur, on Rosh Chodesh, but not, well, there's no Korban Musaf on a Ta'anit. So what is this talking about? The Gemara will address this question. The simple reading is that they did add, not a sacrifice, but they did add a special prayer, a fourth prayer on those serious fast days. So they added an extra prayer after Shacharit and an extra prayer after Mincha. That's what Talmud Yerushalmi says, and that's what Rambam says. In fact, yes, there were four prayers during the day of a Ta'anit besides Arbit. Ma'amadot is what we're going to talk about right now, which are special prayers that were said by a subgroup of people to accompany the korbanot, and this was done all year round, every day, even though most people were just saying the regular shacharit and mincha. The people saying ma'amad would add a musaf and a ne'ilah. Elohen ma'amadot, lefi shenemar, sav et bnei Yisrael, korbani lachmi. So regarding the Korban Tamid, it says, go and command Bnei Israel. These are communal sacrifices brought on behalf of the entire nation. Now, how can someone bring a Korban if he's not there? Right? You have to bring your Korban and then you hand it over to the Kohanim and say, sacrifice this for me. So if it's being done by the whole community, there has to be at least some representatives of the community that are there, handing it over and saying prayers at the same time, saying, yes, we are here. This is for us. So it's not realistic to have all of the entire nation coming and concentrating on this. People have things to do. So the early prophets made 24 different groups of watches. Al kol mishmar mishmar haya ma'amad b'Yerushalayim shel kohanim shel leviim v'shel yisraelim. We saw many times already. We talked about the watches of kohanim. This is they divide the kohanim into 24 groups, and each one takes a turn for that week to serve, and then they start all over again. And leviim also were split up into 24 groups, and they would come and play instruments and help out in all the ways that leviim do. And not only that, yisraelim also. Either all Yisraelim or some were divided into groups, and they would be appointed during 1 week in turn to come and serve by saying prayers, and they would help out in other ways. We're going to see they would bring wood and water. Okay, higi azeman hamishmar la'alot. Kohanim olvim olim liYerushalayim v'Yisrael shebeotom mishmar mitkanesin l'arehem v'korin b'maaseh bereshit. So if it's the week of that particular mishmar, Kohanim and Levim have to go to Jerusalem. That their job is all in Jerusalem. Any Yisraelim that also live in Jerusalem and are nearby, they should go to the Beit HaMikdash also. So there is an audience present. But you don't need everyone in that mishmar to go up, because they can come and gather in their own cities, in Batei Knesiot, wherever they live, and they would read special readings. One of the special readings that they say is they read the Torah, open the Torah, and they read Maaseh Bereshit, the first pedic of Bereshit. And now those people are called Mishmar. The ones that are from Israel, we're calling them now Anshe HaMa'amad, right? They're related to that Mishmar. Mishmar usually means the Kohanim and Leviim. Anshe HaMa'amad refers to the Yisraelim. And the Yisraelim, that week, they would have to fast for 4 days out of the week, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, and Thursday during the day. Now, really, they should fast every day, but it's not a good idea to fast on Friday. It's not respectful for Shabbat to come into Shabbat all hungry, and certainly not on Shabbat itself when one is not allowed to fast. And also, it's not good to fast on Sunday because on Shabbat, you're eating a lot and your body is getting used to eating a lot. And then if you're going to go from eating a lot directly to fasting, then it's too much of a shock and that is dangerous. One can die from that abrupt change. And therefore, that's a transition day. Although we do have some fast days like Tisha B'Av often is on Sunday. But they, for the Ma'amad, they ate on Friday and Sunday in honor of Shabbat. But the other days, they would fast. On all the days, however, even on days they weren't fasting, they would say special prayers, including reading the Torah. And when they read the Torah, every day of the week, they would read one section. Now, it would make the most sense on the first day, on Sunday, to read Yom Dishon, on the second day to read what happened on Yom Sheni, and so on for the 6 days. But we don't do that. And the reason is because the parashiyot are too short. We're sending up, just like we do today, we send three people for an aliyah, and each aliyah has to be at least three pisukim. So each one has to read three pisukim. You need at least nine pisukim. So if you have only you read only one day, most of the days are too short. So therefore, we double up each day with the one next to it as follows. Ve'yom rishon bereshit ve'yehi rakia. So on Sunday, we read the from Bereshit, including Vayhi Or, into Yehi Rakia. Vashini Yehi Rakia, which is the second day, and Vikavu Hamayim, that's the third day. Vashlishi Yikavu Hamayim, we read the third day, Vihi Me'orot, and also the fourth day, Yehi Me'orot. On the fourth day, we read about Yehi Me'orot, which happened on the fourth day, and Vayishlisu Hamayim, which happened on the fifth day. Vachamishi, on Thursday, the Anshe Ma'amad will read Yishesu Hamayim, which happened on day five of creation, and they're also going to read what happened on the sixth day of creation. On the sixth day, they read what happened on the sixth day and the paragraph about Shabbat, and that way they always have enough pesukim. Now, how do you divide the aliyot between two paragraphs? Who gets two aliyot and who gets one aliyah? So whichever one is the longer paragraph, you send two people for an aliyah there. And the shorter paragraph, one person will read that aliyah. And that is halacha till today. Break up a paragraph near the beginning or near the end. So this makes sense. B'shacharit ba'musaf. So I read that wrong. This is what we do during Shacharit and in Musaf. We bring out the Torah and we read the Parashat Bereshit. However, during Mincha, we enter, we go in and we read it by heart, just like we read Shema by heart. Technically, anything that's Mikra, you're supposed to read from a text. You're not allowed to read it by heart. But once a day, we read it from the Torah. The other time, we don't have to bother to bring it out. The word Mumusaf is actually quite in between. It's not clear which way it goes. It could be B'Shacharit, you read it from the Torah, but then B'Musaf or B'Mincha, you read it Be'al Peh. But the punctuation here is the conclusion of the Gemara that we'll see. Erev Shabbat b'mincha lo hayu nichnasin mipene kevod Shabbat. Friday afternoon during mincha, they did not say any ma'amad prayers because everybody has to get ready for Shabbat. So they take a break then, although there's korban mincha on Shabbat, but there's going to be no associated prayers. And this is an important principle. We're going to see more applications. When people are busy with other things, then they don't say the special ma'amad prayers. They don't say the reading of the Torah. For example, kol yom sheyesh bo halel en ma'amad b'shacharit. Any day on which you say halel, for example, Chanukah, every day of Chanukah is full halel. So the people are involved in saying halel. That takes a long time. They sing it. And so there's no time to say the special prayers of the ma'amad. And so there's no ma'amad during shacharit, which is when halel is. Korban musaf en bane'ila. Any day that there is a korban musaf, like Rosh Chodesh, you don't say a ma'amad in ne'ilah. What this means is not only ne'ilah, but also mincha and musaf, according to Rashi's explanation. Because if they're bringing a korban musaf that day, korban musaf, unlike korban tamid, is not only one animal, but at least two, sometimes more if it's a holiday. And although the kohanim are the primary ones dealing with the musaf, the Yisrael that are there in Yerushalayim have to be involved, and they're bringing water and they're bringing wood, and so they're involved in that, and therefore they don't have time to say the special prayers, not in Musaf, not in Micha, and not even in Ne'ilah. So this for sure applies to the people in Yerushalayim. It may not apply to the Anshe Ma'amad that are not in Jerusalem, because since they're home and they're not helping with the Musaf, they do have time. Korban asim en bamincha. Korban asim is a special offering of wood for burning. This was an important expense that the Beit HaMikdash needed wood for burning all the time. And in the time of Nehemiah said, listen, special tax. Everybody's got to contribute wood. We need it. And so there were a bunch of families, we're going to see them in a second, nine families that throughout different times of the year, they contributed wood. When they did so, it was a cause of a lot of celebration for that family, and therefore everyone's involved in bringing that wood in and celebrating. And so there's no time for saying the special ma'amad prayers during mincha, because that's when they would bring the wood offering right before the afternoon. Rabbi Akiva, this is the words of Rabbi Akiva. He's about to change his mind, however. Amalo ben Azai, kacha ya Rabbi Yoshua shone, korban musaf en bemincha, korban etzim en bene'ayla. He switches these two, musaf and etzim. And it's the korban musaf, any day that there is a musaf offering, you're busy with musaf. You're busy with the musaf during musaf and during mincha. So during those two prayers, there's no ma'amad, during those two korbanot, there's no ma'amad prayers. But by the time you get to ne'ayla, You could say it. That's not, they're not busy with Musaf anymore. It's Korban Asim, on the other hand, that you're busy with and Bene'ilah. That's the one that you don't say it from Ne'ilah time. And so just switch them around and then you'll have it right. Chazad Be'akiva Liot Shoneh Keben Azad. Be'akiva said, oh, that makes more sense. I had them switched. And from then on, he taught as Ben Azai taught. This is curious that we are even recording this whole thing, because if Rabbi Akiva's first opinion was just a mistake, and then he corrected it, so why are we recording that he had a mistake, and then he retracted his opinion? Well, I don't know, maybe someone will have a braita somewhere where Rabbi Akiva is saying something different, so we want to record that, yeah, he used to say that, but now he changed his mind. This is the correct way to do it. Zeman aseh kohanim ve'am tish'a. The time when the kohanim and the people brought the wood are nine times in the year. Be'echad, Be'nisan, Be'ne'arach, Be'n-Yehuda. So this family of Be'ne'arach, Be'n-Yehuda, they, every Rosh Chodesh Nisan, they brought a wood offering. That was a happy day. Be'esrim, Be'tamuz, 25th Tamuz, Be'ne'David, Be'n-Yehuda. Ba'chamisha Be'av, Be'ne'parosh, Be'n-Yehuda. They might be related, David or Parosh. Anyway, both the sons of Yehuda. Be'shiv'ah, bo, Ben Yonadav, Ben Rechav. On the 7th of Av, this family. Basarabo, Ben Esenab, Ben Binyamin. On the 10th of Av. This is interesting. The 7th and the 10th of Av, both were holidays for bringing wood. This is curious because the 7th and the 10th, we know, are important days from the Nevi'im. Because the 7th and the 10th, Yirmiyah and Melachim say this is on the fifth month, that's Av, during the time of Nebuchadnezzar in his 19th year, they came and destroyed, burnt the first Beit HaMikdash. There's a contradiction between Melachim and Yirmiyah. Was the Beit HaMikdash burned on the 7th of Av or on the 10th of Av? Neither of the sources say on the 9th of Av. We're going to see, we're going to have to solve that problem. But anyway, I'm just pointing out that these days, which are sad days from the, when the first Beit HaMikdash was destroyed, it's probably not a coincidence that these are days in which they wanted to bring wood to in the, during the second Beit HaMikdash, perhaps to, you know, turn them into a happy day and show that we are working on rebuilding the very wood that was burnt in when the first Beit HaMikdash was burnt down. Okay. So that's the Basara Bo Sana. B'chamisha Asar Bo Ben Zatu Ben Yehuda on Tu Be'av. This family brought it. Also, we know Tu Be'av, it was a happy day. Ve'im mahem kohanim ulviyim v'chol mi she'ta'a b'shibto b'nei gonbe ali u'b'nei kosese kesi'ot. Along with b'nei Zetu on Tu Be'av, also other kohanim, leviyim, and anyone who wasn't sure what tribe they were from, and they wanted to contribute something, so they would give on that day. Also, these other two groups that we're going to learn about later, the people who deceived the authorities with a pestle, and those who packed dried figs, we'll learn more about them. So this was a, Tu B'Av was a general day for offering wood. Also, Be'esrim Bo, on the 20th of Av, Benefachat Moav Ben Yehuda, Be'esrim, I wonder if these guys are Jewish, maybe this is a non-Jew who's, or descendant of a non-Jew who's offering wood, which is also nice. Be'esrim Be'elul, Bene Adin Ben Yehuda, Be'ahad Be'tebet, Shabu, Bene Parosh Sheniya, on the first of Tebet, Bene Parosh, even though they already gave, they gave a second time. They had a lot of wood and they like to donate it. Okay, so that's the end. That's the nine dates that on which we would be celebrating the wood offering and be busy, and we wouldn't say ma'amad all four times on those days. Be'echad b'tevet lo haya bo ma'amad she'ya bo halel v'korban musa v'korban asim. Now, just a side point that on the Rosh Chodesh Tevet, right, where that just passed a few days ago, there was no ma'amad at all. Because since it's, that's also Chanukah. Since it's Chanukah, we say Halel. Because you say Halel, there's no Ma'amad in Shacharit. And there's also Korban Musaf. So there's no, you don't say Ma'amad during Musaf and during, or during Mincha. And it's also a day on which they brought Etzim, right? This last family. And so therefore, there was no Ma'amad, Torah reading and prayers, even during the Ne'ilah. So that was one day that was outstanding in that it did not have any ma'amad at all. But otherwise, every day of the year, there would be someone saying some kind of ma'amad. Okay, now that we mentioned these dates over here, and a couple of them were important dates regarding the destruction of the Beit HaMikdash, we now mention the famous Mishnah of five things that happened. Hamisha debarim ayra'u et avotenu b'shiba asar b'tamuz. There were five things, that disasters that happened to Bnei Yisrael on the 17th of Tammuz and also on the 9th of Av. Here's the first list. B'shivasa b'Tammuz nishtaberu haluchot. That's when Moshe came down. If you do the math, and if we already calculate that Matan Torah was on the 6th of Sivan, which is when Shavuot is, and Moshe went up for 40 days, he came back for 40 days later, is the 17th of Tammuz. That's when he came down and saw that they were worshiping the Egel, and he broke the Luchot. Ubatel hatamid. The daily offering was nullified. It doesn't specify when, but probably by the Romans before the destruction of the Beit HaMikdash. And the city walls were breached. This is talking about the first Beit HaMikdash or second Beit HaMikdash. On the 17th, this has got to be the second Beit HaMikdash. I'll tell you why. Because there's a pasuk that says that here, on the 9th day of the 4th month, which is Tammuz, that's when the city walls were breached. So the first Beit HaMikdash was the 9th of the month. The Gemara will talk about that. So when it says here, the 17th, it's talking about the second Beit HaMikdash. Ve'saraf apostemos et ha-Torah. Apostemos is the name of several Roman generals. We're not sure which one is referring to, and this event is not retold in any outside source by Josephus or anybody. So we don't know exactly what it's referring to, but it likely is sometime before the destruction of the second Beit HaMikdash, one of the Roman generals or procurators did something like this. And an idol was placed in the sanctuary. Some say it's during Menashe, the king Menashe, although there were other times that this happened during the time of the Hashmonaim, or it could be during the time of the Romans. So those are all things that happened on the 17th of Tammuz. On the 9th of Av is when the Chet HaMeraglim happened. The spies came back and said, the land is too strong, we cannot go there. And everybody said, got depressed. And then the punishment was that that first generation would not go into the land. That happened on Tisha B'Av. Doesn't say that in Torah, but that's calculated. And the first and second Beit HaMikdash were destroyed on the 9th of Av. We're going to have to answer a question here, because I just showed you that the Nevi'im say the first Beit HaMikdash was destroyed either on the 7th or the 10th. And not the 9th. So for sure, it's talking about the second, but this Mishnah says the first also. So we're going to have to resolve that problem. And the city of Betar, manuscripts say here say Beter. It might be a concatenation of Bet Tor, whatever. So whatever it is, this is referring to the Bar Kochba revolt, in which Rabbi Akiva was one of the leaders. Bar Kochba claimed to be Mashiach, and they rebelled against the Romans 60 years after the destruction of Beit HaMikdash, and they failed in the year 132 CE, and v'nechresha ir, and the city of Jerusalem was plowed. In fact, after the Bar Kochba revolt, the Romans said that Jews are no longer permitted to live in Jerusalem, and so it was emptied out, something that didn't happen after the Beit HaMikdash was destroyed. So that was a result of Bar Kochba revolt. Okay, now that we mentioned that, Mishenichnas Av Mematin B'Simcha. Once Rosh Chodesh Av comes, we decrease the level of rejoicing that we have, because we are leading up to Tisha B'Av. Shabbat Shechat Tisha B'Av Liyot Betocha. The week in which Tisha B'Av is what we call Shavua Shechalbo. If Tisha B'Av is on Thursday, then the whole week from Sunday until that Thursday, asur melesaper umlechabes. One is not allowed to cut hair or launder clothes, because those you're going to look all nice and with a nice hair and clean clothes. That brings happiness, and we just said that we should decrease happiness. Well, we decrease happiness from Rosh Chodesh, but only from and Shavua Shechalbo we actually stop washing clothes. However, if Tisha B'Av is on Friday, that cannot happen in our calendar, but it could back then. Then you are allowed to take a haircut and wash clothes on Thursday, so that you don't look all disheveled for Shabbat. Right, looking proper for Shabbat is even more important than being sad the very day before Tisha B'Av. And if Tisha B'Av lo yochal adam shene tavshilin, that day before Tisha B'Av, the morning gets even more acute. And we do not eat two cooked dishes. And that's what we do today for a Sudat Mafseket, the meal before Tisha B'Av. We have only one cooked dish. Lo yochal basar v'lo yishte yayin, and no meat and no wine during that meal on that day. It sounds from here that you can have meat and wine the rest of the month, even though nowadays the custom is not to have meat and wine from Rosh Chodesh. Rabban Shimon ben Gamliel omer, yeshaneh. Ashbag is more lenient. He says he doesn't agree that you have to have only one meal. Rather, do something different. If you usually have five cooked dishes, then have four cooked dishes. If you usually have something very fancy, then have it a little bit less fancy. And so just do something different to decrease, but it doesn't have to go all the way down to one. Adds more stringent and says you have to turn the bed over. This is a sign of mourning. Back then, they would turn the beds, flip them upside down, like in sleepaway camp. If you didn't get out of your bed in time, right, the counselor would come and flip the bed with us in it. They didn't do it with the people in it, but they would flip the bed and then they would sit on the floor. And so Rabbi Yehuda says one should also do that, but the rest of the sages says no, that's not necessary before Tisha B'Av. Amar Rabban Shimon ben Gamliel. Lo hayu yamim tovim leYisrael kachamisha asar be'av uchiyom ha'kipurim. Remember, Tu B'Av was one of the days of wood, And it was also another happy day. There was no happy day equivalent to Tu Be'av and Yom Kippur. On both of those days, Shebehen, Benot Yerushalayim Yosot Bechle Lavan She'olin, the unmarried daughters of Israel would go out and borrowed white clothing. Borrowed, so doesn't no one, rich and poor, everyone is wearing the same thing, the same uniform. So when the boys come and choose, they're not choosing based on wealth. And someone who doesn't have any clothes, they won't be embarrassed because everybody's using borrowed clothes. We put all the clothing in the mikveh to make them tahor because we don't ask questions. Who knows where this? Who owned this before? Whether it's tameh or tahor, so we dip everything. And the daughters of Israel would go and dance in circles in the vineyards. This is amazing, even though Tisha B'Av is a sad day. This is Tu B'Av, so it's a happy day, that's fine. I mean, even though Yom Kippur is a fast day and serious day, but they have a break, you know, during the afternoon there. They would go out and be singing and dancing. And what would they say? Bachor, sana enecha ore ma ta bore lach. So the girls would call out to the boys and say, lift up your eyes and check out who do you want to choose as a wife? Who do you want to take out on a date? And don't look at beauty, but rather of family. And the Mishnah sounds like everyone's saying the same thing. We're going to see there's a Braita, the Gemara will quote that says, no, everyone said different things. Those who were pretty said, you know, pick one. Those who were not so pretty said, don't look at our looks. Look at our family. We have good yichus. Right? Don't look at beauty. That's all nonsense. So a woman who fears God, that's what's praiseworthy. Right, give her the fruit of her hand, meaning a tribute to her, her accomplishments, and let her works praise her in gates and in public. And here they are in public. And so this was a day when everybody found their shiduch. And now we conclude the perek with the whole masechet with the beautiful final mishnah related to the one before. Bechenayu amrim se naorena benot Zion. So another pasuk, but this time from Shir Hashirim about the daughters of Zion, like the daughters of Yerushalayim, saying go out. But this time they're not going out to dance; they're going out to check out the king. The day that King Shlomo is getting married, and he has this beautiful crown that his mother crowned upon him on his wedding day, and his happiest day. So everyone's coming out to rejoice with the king. Now, Shir HaShirim, we know, is all an allegory. And so this king is not referring to a human king, Shlomo, but rather Melech Shalom, Shelo, we read midrashically, the king of peace, meaning Hashem. And so we are all going out and rejoicing with Hashem. And so each of these, this wedding day was a wedding day referring to when did our Bnei Israel and Hashem married? Right? The day of the giving of the Torah, that's like the kituvah, right? That the husband gives the wife, that's what Hashem gives. Hashem, the husband, gives the wife, Bnei Israel. And the day of his gladness, that's referring to the building of the Bet HaMikdash that should be built soon in our days, which is a beautiful way of capping off this whole description that we had before of the of what fast days and other days look like in the Bet HaMikdash with the Kohanim and the Mishmarot and the Ma'amadot. Okay, this pasuk we say all the time whenever we take the Torah out of the Aron, we say, what does that have to do with the wedding? Now you know why we say it, because this we're referring to the wedding day of Hashem Bnei Yisrael at Matan Torah. So as we take the Torah out of the Aron Kodesh, we are re-receiving it and re-remembering. It's like looking at the wedding album, right? Remember when we got this? Remember that wonderful day? Let's all go out and rejoice with the Torah that Hashem has given to us. So you should keep this in mind whenever we take out the Torah. And that is the Mishnah. And now the Gemara is going to focus on the beginning. There are three times during the year in which we say Birkat Kohanim four times on each of those three types of days. Now, Taniot Ma'amadot Mi'ika Musaf, and the question is, this makes sense for Yom Kippur, because Yom Kippur, we do in fact say, have four tefillot, right? Shacharit, Musaf, Mincha, and Ne'ilah. So we're, according to this opinion, we do Birkat Kohanim all four times. But on a fast day, and any day you're saying a Ma'amad, I know we add Ne'ilah, but there's no Musaf, there's no Qurban Musaf, so there's no prayer of Musaf. Okay, I already told you that the Yerushalmi, and the Rambam follows that, says there is an extra prayer on those days. But the Bavli does not say so. Hasurim ha-chasera v'hachi katane, bishlosha perekim kohanim nosim et kapehem, kol zeman shemit palelin. So the Bavli says you have to add some words to the Mishnah. And this is what it means to say. On three different times of the year, the kohanim, do birkat kohanim, every time they pray, however many times. Sometimes it's four, sometimes it's only three. Yesh mehem arba pamim beyom, shacharit musaf mincha neilat she'arim. So that would be Yom Kippur. And by the way, now it gives us a hint of why it's called Ne'ilah. It's during the time of the closing of the gates, most likely referring to the physical gates of the Beit HaMikdash. Every evening, they were closed. Every morning, there was a nice ceremony, and they were opened again. Although, allegorically, we also have it referred to the closing of the gates of heaven, when the day of Yom Kippur is over. Okay, ve'elu hen shelosha perakim, taniyot, ma'amadot, ve'yom kippurim. And these are the three times. Also, for tanit ma'amadot, there's only three prayers, but the point is that every time you pray, you say berkat kohanim, and that's what we meant to say. You see that this is this does not fit into the words as well as the Yerushalmi, but Yerushalmi has to say that we do add another prayer called Musaf, even though there's no Korban Musaf, so the Bavli is more bothered by that, and so modifies the meaning. Amar Rav Nachman, Amar Abba Bar Abu, Zo Dibrei Rabbi Meir. What we said in the Mishnah just now is the words of Rabbi Meir. Another good example of Stam Mishnah is Rabbi Meir. Anonymous Mishnah is in fact Rabbi Meir. Aval Chachamim, but that actually is not the majority opinion. Well, sometimes Rabbi Yehuda Nasi, he would take a minority opinion, in this case Rabbi Meir, and make it anonymous to say, this is what you should follow. But the Gemara says, not necessarily, because actually it's a minority opinion. The majority opinion says, Shacharit u'musaf yesh behem nesiat kapayim. Mincha u'ne'ayla en behem nesiat kapayim. Only in the morning do we do Birkat Kohanim, not in the two afternoon prayers. Now, this would be the same as like a regular day, on Shabbat. We say Birkat Kohanim, or on a holiday, we say Birkat Kohanim in the morning, Shacharit Musaf, and not in the afternoon. The reason we don't do it in the afternoon is because, we're going to see, and during the day, you eat a meal and drink wine, and the Kohanim may be drunk, and therefore they're not allowed to do Birkat Kohanim when they are drunk. Now, on a fast day, this wouldn't apply, but we make a gezerah. We're not going to do it any time of the year, because if you do it some days of the year on the fast day, you're going to say, oh, we did it that day. Why not do it on a regular Shabbat? So therefore, we never do it. That's the reason of Chachamim. Now, man Chachamim, who is Chachamim? Even they're called anonymous, but they're not the majority either. We'd call them Chachamim, but it's actually one opinion of Yudahi Detanya. Now we have Braita that's going to bring three different opinions. Shacharit Musaf Mincha Ne'ilah Kulan Yesh Behen Nesiat Kapayin Dibrei Rabbi Meir. Rabbi Meir, as we saw in the Mishnah, you say four times on Yom Kippur and any other day that you have all the prayers. Rabbi Yehuda Omer Shacharit Musaf Yesh Behen Nesiat Kapayin Mincha Ne'ilah En Behen Nesiat Kapayin. That's what we just said. You only do Birkat Kohanim in the two morning prayers, not the two afternoon prayers. That is Rabbi Yehuda's opinion. And the third one, which we didn't see yet, Rabbi Yosef Omer Ne'ilah Yesh Ba Nesiat Kapayim Mincha En Ba Nesiat Kapayim. This is what we do on Yom Kippur, which is we say Birkat Kohanim for Shacharit and Musaf, not for Mincha, and yes, for Ne'ilah. That's why we have to hurry up and get Ne'ilah in before sunset, because ideally Birkat Kohanim must be said during the day. Be'mai kami palge. What is the essence of their machloket? Rabbi Meir sabar kol yomata amamai la parsi kahane yadayu b'mincha b'shum shichrut. Aydana leka shichrut. Every other day of the year, how come we don't do Birkat Kohanim during mincha? Because they may be drunk. Don't think that the Kohanim are drunkards and they're drinking all the time, going to the bar. anytime people ate those days, they didn't have water. They didn't have straight water because water was contaminated. They add a little water, they add wine to the water so the alcohol would disinfect it. So they're always drinking some. And you don't have to drink a lot to be disqualified from serving in the Beit HaMikdash or from doing Birkat Kohanim. Even one cup of wine, of undiluted wine, would be enough. So even if they're not totally drunk, you can't drink at all. I mean, you can't drink much. So therefore, every day of the year, it's because they may have drunk. But on the fast day, on Yom Kippur, they're not drinking. So therefore, there's no problem in saying it in Mincha and Ne'ilah, and other fast days also, and even if there's no Ne'ilah, we would say it during Mincha. That's it, B'me'ir. Rabbi Yehuda Saba, Shachrit Musaf, Tekol Yomah, La Shichach Shichrut, Lo Gazru Behu Rabbanan. Mincha and Ne'ilah, Tekol Yomah, Shichach Shichrut, Gazru Behu Rabbanan. So Rabbi Yehuda, who says only in the morning, Shachrit Musaf, every day, people are never drunk. You don't wake up in the morning and drink wine. So therefore, the rabbis did not make any gezerah, and all year long, you could say it during Shachrit and Musaf. However, Mincha Ne'ilah, since most days of the year, people do drink for lunch, so therefore, we make a gezerah of a regular day to the fast days, that if we allow Birkat Kohanim on a fast day, then people will come to do it on a regular day also when they are drunk. So better to be consistent throughout the year, only in the morning. Rabbi Yehuda sabar, mincha de'ita b'chol yoma gazru ba'ah rabbanan. Na'ila de'leta b'chol yoma lo gazru ba'ah rabbanan. This is very interesting. Mincha, which you have every day, the rabbis made a gezerah. Because you're going to say, oh, look, on another day during Mincha, let's say on Yom Kippur, right? We did Birkat Kohanim. So today also, a regular day, we should say Birkat Kohanim during Mincha. So Mincha would be confusing. Therefore, the rabbis made a gezerah and say, never do it during Mincha. But Ne'ilah, we don't have a Ne'ilah on a regular day. So there's no problem of confusion. If you have Ne'ilah, if you say Birkat Kohanim, every time you do Ne'ilah, well, when you're doing Ne'ilah, only on Yom Kippur, and in those days it would be on a fast day or on a day of Ma'amad, in which most of the days of Ma'amad they were fasting also. So then that would not be confusing, and that is what we do today on Yom Kippur. We say Birkat Kohanim during Ne'ilah because you won't confuse it with Ne'ilah during any other day of the year where there is no Ne'ilah. We don't say Birkat Kohanim during Mincha because we don't want people to think that on other days we can do it during Mincha. Okay, Amar Rav Yehuda Amar Rav Halacha Kerabi Meir. Rav says we follow the first opinion. Rav Yehuda Amar Nahagua Am Kerabi Meir. Yochanan says no, that's not the halacha, but that's what people do. We'll see what the difference is between this language. Rav Amar Minhag Kerabi Yehuda. It's a custom. So Rabbi Yochanan is the lowest level. He's saying people do it. It's like we're not even saying it's a proper custom. Rav says it's a proper custom, but we're not calling it halacha. Rav says this is halacha. Manda amar halacha could be me'ir dashina na bepirka. The difference between these three languages is that if you say it's a halacha like it'd be me'ir, then that would mean you give a public lecture. The pirka is the official public lecture that the rabbi would give. And anything he said during that time is recorded for generations. Halacha lemaase, it's official. It's like publishing it. So you can publish that. Yes, we would say mincha and all the prayers like to be meir. Manda mar minhag midrash tadashinan oruye morenan. If you say it's a custom, that's what Rava said, then we don't publicize it, but we do teach it, right? If someone asks, hey, what should we do? We say you should do this, but we're not publishing it. Manda mar nahagu oruye la morenan yabed abed vela mehaderin le. According to the middle opinion, Bilchanan, who says this is what people do, we don't even tell people to do that. If they do it on their own, then we don't stop them and make them go back and say the prayer again or make them sit down, right? So they can do it. We tolerate it, but we don't advocate for it at all. Okay, so that's the three opinions about Rabbi Meir, but not everyone follows Rabbi Meir. Rav Nachman amar halacha k'Rabbi Yoseh. The last opinion, v'halacha k'Rabbi Yoseh, and the halacha is in fact like Rabbi Yoseh, and that is what we do on Yom Kippur. Now you can ask about other fast days. V'aydana, maitama parse kahane, yadaihu b'minchata deta'anita. Nowadays, and we still do this today, how come we do Birkat Kohanim during a mincha of a regular fast day? Right? Any fast day. Shivasa Betamuz, right? We do it. And that's not like Rabbi Yoseh, who says that you don't do Birkat Kohanim during Mincha. Why? The answer is, Kevan de besamuch lishkat chamaka parsi kitfilat neiladam. Yeah, since we pray Mincha right close to sunset, therefore it's actually similar to a Ne'ila prayer. And it sounds like most of the year they would pray Mincha earlier during the day, right? Maybe they would stop for lunch and they would say Mincha, and only on fast days they would say closer to when it gets dark, which also makes sense. And they would, the fast would finish like we do. We make it as late as possible. So then we say Arbit, and then the fast is over. So because on that day, which is unusual, they say Mincha towards right before sunset, it is actually similar to Ne'ila, and they won't confuse it with a Mincha of the rest of the year, which is said earlier during the day. Now, this is going to make a difference. This is halacha lemaaseh. If on a fast day you are praying a Mincha Gedola and you're praying early, then you do not do Birkat Kohanim, right? For this very reason, because of the Gezerah, if you do Birkat Kohanim on the fast day early, then other days also you will. So this reason makes a difference in the halacha. And we had a funny story. Last year we had one of the fasts, and we were doing it late, and we were doing Birkat Kohanim, and the Kohanim were going up, and there was one person there that said, no Birkat Kohanim. And he seemed very sure of himself. And, I was there, the Chazan, there was another rabbi there, like, what are you talking about? We always say Birkat Kohanim. And he had gone to a Mincha Gedolah Minyan that day, and they didn't do Birkat Kohanim. So he thought that we don't do Birkat Kohanim, but he didn't realize it was because he was at Mincha Gedolah, they didn't do it. But in late Mincha, we do. Okay, Dekula Amami Hat Shikor Asur B'Nisat Kapayim Mina Ne'mile. Now, the last topic is the source of this. It seems everyone agrees. It does. Everyone does agree that someone who drank alcohol is not allowed to do Nisiyat Kapayim. Why? How do we know that? Amar Rabbi Yoshua ben Levi mishum bar kapara. Lama nismecha parashat kohen mevarech leparashat nazir. And so Rabbi Yoshua ben Levi taught in the name of bar kapara. How come in parashat naso you have the Birkat Kohanim section is immediately after the section about the nazir? A nazir is kind of like a temporary kohen, right? The laws that he can't become tameh. And cutting his hair are similar to what Kohanim cannot do. So it's like a regular person that wants to be at the level of a Kohen temporarily. So they are related. So, but why are they connected? Lomar, man nazir asur b'yayin, af kol mevarech asur b'yayin. To teach me that just like a nazir may not drink wine, so too a Kohen who's saying Birkat Kohanim, that's what's said there, is also not allowed to drink wine. Question: Matkif la Abu de Rabbi Zera, v'amri la Oshaya bar Zabda. Im anazir asur becharsan, af kol mebarech asur becharsan. If you're learning it from a nazir, a nazir is not allowed to eat anything that comes from grapes, right? Not grapes, not grape pits, even things that are not alcoholic. A nazir may not consume. Would you say then, if that's true for a kohen who had some grapes or some grape pits, will also not be allowed to do Birkat Kohanim? That we don't say that. Amar Rabbi Yitzchak, Amar Kela l'shadato ulbarech shemo. So now we're going to a different pasuk in Devarim. It says to minister and to bless to him. Ma misharet mutar becharsan, af kohen mebarech mutar becharsan. And so with this pasuk, we're comparing a kohen who makes Birkat Kohanim, we're comparing him to a kohen who serves in the Beit HaMikdash. And we know that a kohen who serves in the Beit HaMikdash, although can't be drunk, is allowed to benefit from grape pits. So therefore, we're connecting those two, what the kohen to a kohen, and therefore that's permitted. Now we have two comparisons, and you can see where we're going with this. Imam Misharet Baal Mumlo. Af kohen mebarech ba'al mumlo ha'it kash le'nazir. Wait, if you're going to compare that, then a kohen who's serving in the Beit HaMikdash, if he has any blemish at all, is not allowed to serve. Would you say also a kohen who's doing Birkat Kohanim, if he has any blemish, he may not do Birkat Kohanim? Now, side point, it is true that a kohen who has a visible blemish cannot do Birkat Kohanim. It's not a very PC law in terms of people with disabilities. But the point is that people should not, the people watching shouldn't be distracted by it. Okay. But if it's a hidden mum, something that could not be seen, that person could do Birkat Kohanim, but wouldn't be able to serve in the Beit HaMikdash. So if you're going to compare them, then you'd have to disqualify them also. Well, no, the answer is that's why it's compared to Nazir. A Nazir, you could be a Nazir even if you have a blemish. So too, someone who says Birkat Kohanim can have a blemish. So now the final question, am I chazit mitkash lekula, akesh lechumra? You're taking the Kohen who does Birkat Kohanim and you're comparing it to two different things, always for leniency. You're saying that he can have products from grapes, like grape pits. And that is like a Kohen who serves. He's also, you're permitting someone who has a blemish. And that's like a Nazir who's allowed to have a blemish. Why'd you do it that way? Why don't you switch it around and learn that the Kohen making the blessing, Birkat Kohanim, is machmir in both ways, and he cannot have even pits, and he cannot do it even if he has a blemish, and learn the opposite. And the final answer is Asmachtani Numid Rabbanan Ulekula. The truth is that we're not actually deriving these laws from these pesukim. These are just general comparisons. The rabbis, we know these laws from tradition, and the rabbis are just using the pesukim as mere support, not as actual derivations. And so since we know that the halakha is that someone does Birkat Kohanim is allowed in these two features, so just to remember them as a mnemonic device, just to learn them, we are making this comparison, and that's why we make the comparisons for leniency and not for stringency. Baruch Adonai L'Olam. Amen v'amen.